Coley.
How's it going?
Good. It's been a minute.
It has been a minute. It is good to be back on the mics with you. We are in the middle of August. Yeah. I don't know how that happened.
Summer flew by.
Yeah. That was insane. It's completely insane. But I know we're getting ready for fall. I saw, actually, I was at, where was I? Cub. I was at Cub the other day, and they had pumpkin spice, like, dessert roll things in the bakery.
I'm not mad about that.
I was a little. Because, like, what? It's August. Pumpkin? That's October. I'm not ready.
Once October gets here, though, it's like winter already, though. So I'll just, I'll take fall when I can. I love pumpkin flavored
things. Yeah, what is it? Like 65 degrees, 62 degrees outside right now.
And currently raining.
I don't hate. Because normally August is like the worst month of the year for heat and all that. But pity to those of you listening who are not in the great state of Minnesota right now. But, well, hey, we are going to talk, just you and I, today about what's coming up here at Antioch. We are, for the first time this fall, we are going to start an education hour.
Woo! Woo!
Yes, I am very excited. This is something that we've talked about having for a long time. We've wanted it for a long time. And many people that grew up in church. Did you grow up with a Sunday school?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I remember Sunday school teachers. I'm pretty sure one of my, like, faithful Sunday school teachers from when I was young, Mrs. Wilcox, shout out. She came to my wedding even.
Oh, like, that's awesome.
The beauty of, like, Sunday school teachers, when I think back to, like, the adults that helped disciple and raise me alongside my parents, like, growing up. It's just a beautiful thing to be able to incorporate in a church body. Did you have, like, a Sunday school hour growing up, too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were at church all the time. I mean, it was Sunday morning for however many services there were. Chances are we were involved in all of them. And then a Sunday school class somewhere in there. Sunday night. We actually had Sunday night services for a while.
Oh, yeah.
We had, like, hymn sings and whatnot.
With the first, second, and fourth verse of every hymn.
Yeah. Well, we actually had, like, it was like the early 90s, so this would have been like chorus books.
Oh,
there were some yeah. hymnals, but then there were also these,
like,
chorus
the
books.
Bound, yeah, spiral bound covers. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Not the ones that I learned to play piano from, but, like, yes. Yeah. Okay, well, we are digressing, but the point is that there is a very good reason that the church historically has had these special segments of time and space to do classes, to do education, to do discipleship, that isn't just the sermon on the Sunday morning. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk to you guys about a little bit, give you some of the philosophy and maybe history of this kind of a thing, and then kind of talk about what it's going to look like for us this coming year. That sound about right?
Yeah, let's dive in.
Yeah.
I mean, Christian education. When I hear the term Christian education, I automatically, my brain goes to, like, Christian K-12 schooling. But not what we're talking about on this podcast. We're talking about Christian education within the body of Christ, within the church setting, really. And I know that happens within the home as well. But I think today we really want to focus on kind of what that looks like within the body of Christ. People who may not be blood relatives educating and discipling all generations. Yeah, Christian education. Not necessarily within a K-12 school setting, but within the body of Christ, what that can look like. As it's looked so different over millennia. It looks different from church to church even nowadays, and it looks different within homes as well. You know, when I think of Christian education, the role of the church body is so important in that. Even as a now parent, you know, you and I get to experience the weighty joy and blessing that it is to disciple kids within our home. But also, just like any task in parenting, it takes a village. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I'm so thankful for the body of Christ to be able to minister to my children, but also even to me. I need the body of Christ coming around, reminding me and teaching me the word. I was discussing with my DNA group recently kind of some different philosophies in discipleship that can happen within the home and within churches. And we had kind of narrowed it down, even after reflecting on something we had been reading, of three really models of teaching. And I'd love to get your feedback on how the church plays into each one of these, Coley.
Yeah, I love you.
But kind of the ideas of there can be explicit education, right? Like, we sit down, we teach a class, maybe we tell a Bible story or a teaching and we explicitly draw application from that, right? The story of David and Goliath is not just a story. There's things to learn about who God is, who I am from reading the scripture that maybe kids on their own aren't going to draw out necessarily, but we could help guide them with that.
Right.
There's also like the integration that happens. I think of like Deuteronomy 6 when, you know, Moses is talking to the children of Israel and saying like, you know, God's telling us like this law, this commandment, these words from him, like we should talk about them wherever we go. When you're out and about, have them in your home, have them written on your heart, have them written on your forehead.
Right.
And that's mostly metaphorically speaking for us nowadays, although you might have a cool tattoo with the Bible verse, right?
Hey, coats with tassels are back in.
So. But talking about it wherever we go and kind of integrating our faith with our life, with our kids. So that way when we have questions or we're out and about and we see nature, we're talking about God, the creator, the beauty. We're answering questions with our kids, asking questions ourselves about who God is, what we're seeing. And it's really just a day in, day out lifestyle. And then there can also be story teaching and storytelling of telling our own experiences of how we've experienced God. I mean, history throughout cultures, storytelling has been a big part of how we pass down values.
Right.
And we see that through even silly fables that get passed down to teach lessons to kids. Mm-hmm. But that can happen within the Christian faith too. And so, you know, when you think of education within the church, what kind of, how do you see the church playing a role in that?
Yeah. So, you know, it's sometimes you can get into the weeds of splitting hairs between preaching and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's more similarities than differences really, but so just to talk about teaching in like a setting like this, to teach the tenets of the faith and how to live them out. Tenets not just being knowledge points, but who is God and who is Jesus and what has he done and why should we follow him and how? So those kinds of questions are things that we talk about on a Sunday morning in a sermon, or we hear, you know, we are exhorted from the word on a Sunday morning. But a church education time is unique in that just by nature of the size of the group, I think you end up with more interaction. Although it's actually, I think, especially in the last 50 years, let's say, really the church is kind of filling a gap because historically, and you see this in the history of Israel, the family was the center of Christian education.
Yeah.
The whole identity of the Israelite people was we are God's people. And like you referenced Deuteronomy 6, it's pass this on to your children. Talk about it when you lie down, when you're on the road walking, when you get up, when you eat, when you list all these like day-to-day things, just when you're doing life, talk about what God has done and who he is and worship and teach your children, all of that. And as the, I hate to be like one of those doom and gloom, like the breakdown of the family, but you know, like, but as the family, now to be fair, the very first family in the history of the world included murder. So like,
yeah, brokenness has been around for a long time. Yeah.
Brokenness has been around for a minute, but one of the ways we see it now is that there isn't robust understanding of how to do Christian education in the home.
Yeah.
Outside of like, we sit down, we do a Bible study together, or we sit down and do a lesson. And that was never my experience, even though I actually grew up in full-time ministry. We like never did Bible studies.
My family tried to do like family devotions for a season, and it my parents had such great intentions, and I think they really tried. We as kids were just, we were probably just the worst. And we, you know, you're reading through the Old Testament, you come across, I remember specifically reading like genealogies, and there's this group of guys, Muppum, Huppum, and Ard. I have no idea the context, but now every time I'm like going through like a Bible, you know, yearly thing, and I come across those, I crack up because I think of family devotions with my parents. And we just started all cracking up about Muppum, Huppum, and Ard. I have no idea. My parents were trying to teach us that night, but it did not go well. I think we quit shortly thereafter. But yeah, you're right. Even within the family, it's not perfect.
No,
even if you try to have a sit down education time within the family.
Right. But the original point too is not that you have to have a PhD before you can teach.
Oh yeah.
It's that it's life. Discipleship is life. And if family is life too, like, that's where we're doing it. But when people either maybe didn't grow up with the Christian parents or didn't grow up with Christian parents who knew how to integrate, like you're saying, that's a place where the church can step in and say, mm-hmm. okay, let's create some space to do this well. And what it also gives us a chance to do is, again, because families are smaller, we're not as integrated in as a society, like, it gives kids of similar ages a chance to interact with other kids yeah. close to an age. And it gives parents a break. You know?
Yeah.
And all of these things where if our entire society was structured differently, our education hour would be structured differently too.
Mm-hmm. And I know even I was a teacher in a former life. And I can't tell you how many teachers' kids I would tutor because, you know, mm-hmm. you often hear like the, yeah, I can teach. I know the material, but teaching my kid is so totally different.
Yes.
Kids receive things differently from different people. And I think, you know, we all experience that. Sometimes your spouse will tell you something a million times, but you hear from somebody else and it's just this novel idea, right?
Like you've never heard it before.
Exactly. I know that's a silly example, but we glean things from other members of the body of Christ differently.
Right.
And I think there's a beautiful way and picture in which an education hour like we want to do allows kids, adults to interact and really have like beautiful life on life discipleship and mentoring that wouldn't happen otherwise.
Right. And so I think the big thing that we want to, we're calling it an education hour. We could call it Sunday school. We could call it something cheeky and punny or something. We're going with education hour because some people don't love the sense of school, you know, like Sunday school. But what we don't want it to just be is it's not just more opportunities for head knowledge.
Yeah.
I think learning the original languages is really great. We're not having a Greek 101.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's lots of things that are really important and really interesting and can be really edifying. But our goal, especially for this first year, is to really focus on the basics and the things that are of utmost importance. And with every conversation to ask application questions, like how does this change tomorrow? How does this affect my Monday?
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, like we will also build relationships and we will get to know one another in a different way. Because this is separate from community groups and DNA groups and all those other opportunities that people have to connect and relate.
Yeah, and I think it's a great way too. I mean, I know those of us who are in community and DNA groups, it's really great to not just passively sit back and be taught. I mean, I think there's a time and a place for us to just like glean.
Right.
You know, I really enjoy the sermons that are preached on Sundays here and how it's just a chance to sit back and let the word of God fill your heart and mind.
Totally.
And reflect on that throughout the week. But I also love the chance, even within community groups, I know some groups do sermon discussions to actually take those, what we've heard and know how to apply it to our lives and wrestle with things together and ask the questions of, so what does this mean? Are we going to take the words of Jesus literally here? Like,
right.
And I think an education hour kind of allows us to wrestle with each other in that.
Mm.
One of the things I love about the EFCA and our statement of faith is just our commitment to the unity that can come from the gospel.
Yeah.
And I know there are so many things that can divide churches, but a centrality of the gospel being the thing that unifies us and propels us towards mission, the more we can talk about what that gospel looks like in our lives on a daily, weekly basis with other believers, the more God's going to use our church, the more he's going to allow us opportunities to love our community, and to tell about that beautiful gospel that we learn so much about.
Right. Amen. So one thing I forgot to bring this up earlier. we're talking about disciple making, but what is a disciple? These are things that we talk about all the time, but I think it's good to never assume. So
please tell us, director of discipleship ministries.
Oh, yeah. I should probably have an answer for that. So there's a lot of ways you can summarize. I mean, really, to say what is a disciple, we can say read the Gospels. But if you had to boil it down, the way we describe it is a disciple is simply a follower of Jesus. But you can parse that out in 100 different ways. One of the most straightforward ways that I have found, and this comes from, I think, Jeff Vanderstelt with Saturate Ministries. He uses Matthew 4:19, that where Jesus comes to the guys in the boat and says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And in that one sentence, he gives three things. The implication of "follow me" is actually one of worship. Mm-hmm. I think we hear it, because we hear it as a verb, we think it's obedience, but that's actually going to come later. But it's actually worship. "Follow me because you recognize me as Lord."
Yeah, they weren't just following anybody. They were following somebody who had been doing miracles, who had been teaching unlike anybody else at that time. Like, they followed him because of who he was.
Yeah, exactly. And then, but then Jesus makes a promise. He says, "I will make you." And that is a good representation of this idea of transformation, mm-hmm. or sanctification. That becoming more like Jesus is something that we have to be committed to, yes, but it's a promise that Jesus makes to us. "I will make you."
Yeah.
"Into," and then he goes on, "into what? Fishers of men." And he's using a pun there because he's talking to fishermen, you know. But that being a fisher, being fishers of people, going and finding the lost sheep, to use another animal example, is an act of obedience. Mm-hmm. And I think the ideas of worship, transformation, and obedience are, I think, good broad categories to when we think about discipleship. So as we get into this education hour opportunity, we're going to be talking about those three things. And it's not just for adults. We've sort of been talking back and forth about adults and kids, but we're going to have classes for adults and for kids. And discipleship isn't something that you have to have a certain intellectual rigor before you can do, or before you can be. Anyone can follow Jesus. I really believe that. There's this vague idea of the age of accountability. I think that's a thing. I don't know what it is. You know, like, there's a lot of unknowns. But I do believe that children can genuinely come to a real faith in Christ.
I've heard the concept of allowing your, like, mental capacity or maturity to align with, or to continue to grow along with, your desire to know Christ.
Yeah.
Growing together. Actually, yeah.
My dad has always said it. That has the person given, or if you're looking at a kid, like, well, do they understand? Like, what? Well, ask this. Have they given everything they know of themselves to everything they know of Jesus? Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons I think there's a crisis of faith at key moments in people's lives, like adolescence, young adulthood, maybe first time being parents, these different milestones, even, you know, retirement or different things, is because there's this massive shift. Earlier we were talking about our kids, and we were talking about, like, brain leaps and, mm-hmm. you know, these moments in time where it's like, what's happening? And it looks kind of chaotic, and it's stressful, and it's hard, until the growth actually slows down. And when we have those moments in our lives, those are really great opportunities for spiritual growth, but they're also opportunities for the enemy to use them to sow seeds of doubt.
For sure.
And so if we as a church can get in with our kids at a young age and to present the Jesus that we know to be faithful and true and just and loving and safe and all of the things that a kid needs to know that they have in Christ, and it's being proven, hopefully, by the adults around them, then when they do get to those critical points of childhood development, then we get to come in and say, you knew that Jesus was big enough for you at 5, but did you know he's also big enough for you at 12?
Yeah, because we all have these points of crisis, right, in our lives, and it's natural as we mature, and it's it's healthy, right?
Exactly.
Being able to ask questions of who God is he still like that, is good.
Right.
and still being able to be in a community where it's safe to ask those questions, and the adults are asking that along with you.
Right.
And growing.
And so yeah. Exactly. Because then even in the, you know, as adults, I think slowly, whether it's science or culture, I'm not really sure, but like, slowly we're realizing that like adulthood isn't actually an arrival. There's always a development. Like we used to say that the brain is fully developed at 25 for boys and 22 for women or something like that, girls. But I think now it's like, well, actually the brain's always changing, like yeah. as our bodies and our, you know.
It's so, not just the prefrontal cortex that allows us to arrive.
Although yeah. I am so thankful for that when it kicks in. I'm a big fan. But that, you know, we can look at, you know, adolescents or kids first entering elementary schools or kids first entering high school or college, whatever it is, these key moments. But then as adults, we have similar, like you're saying, we have similar moments where maybe it's, okay, yeah, I knew God was big enough or good enough for me when I had a job. But is he still Savior and Lord when I don't?
Mm-hmm.
Or when it's a relationship issue or whatever. All of these life things that we go through are opportunities to find out just how infinite God is.
Mm-hmm.
And when, yeah, we're going to talk about some very specific things in these classes, but really they all point to that. They all point to getting to a practical place where I can say, I know, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for yeah. the Bible tells me so, and I've experienced it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that a five-year-old can say that, and here's how I know, because my parents love me, because Jesus told them to. You know, and sometimes that might feel like the only reason. And then the adults can say, and here's the ways that I know
yeah.
that Jesus loves me, because I've experienced it.
And I like that you talked about, too, that it's, you know, for all adults being able to come in. Because I think sometimes I've been in church backgrounds where sometimes an adult education hour or a Sunday school hour can turn into these little affinity groups almost, where it's like, you're going to have the single women's class over here and the marriage class here.
Ew.
Yeah. And while I understand there's probably some heart behind that, I think, you know, we in the creation of this education hour have tried to really stray away from that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, just because the beautiful diversity that can happen within a mixed group of people in the body of Christ, I think is just so valuable. But we're not wanting to hit into those kind of things right now.
Right.
You know, we're wanting to start with that discipleship that we all need, regardless of what quote unquote season of life we're in. Right. I don't know when those seasons ever, I mean, they never end. Well, so we're all going to deal with these, but experience how the gospel changes us in different ways in our lives.
For sure. And going back to our vision as a church, that we want to be a loving family, inviting all people into the life-changing way of Jesus, that family dynamic is not, a family isn't made up of all 25-year-olds.
Yeah.
Or all parents with two kids under the age of six, you know, or whatever specific mm-hmm. affinity we want to, you know, pick. That a family is all ages, all people, all stations of life, you know, that we can come together and have common ground because of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And even if somebody wants to come who doesn't yet know Jesus, but is exploring this whole, you know, God thing, whatever, mm-hmm. this is also a great time to see how the church wrestles with these kinds of topics that we're going to talk about in these classes. So I'm really excited for it this coming year. The other thing is that, like you said, these affinity groups, or it becomes like your only point of contact or your network. One of the things we're going to do with the education hour is that we will only have short-term classes.
Yeah.
So we will have a class almost every Sunday, barring, you know, holidays and things. But I don't think any of them this fall are longer than 4 weeks.
So you can hop in or out.
You can hop in and out. Yeah. And even if you miss one, like, just that's fine. Just come to the next one.
There's no test at the end of, like, the session or something that. Yeah.
I'm sorry. We aren't handing out certificates at the end of this. But yeah, so we wanted to make it as accessible as possible. We know that people, you know, we have a very strong culture of travel.
Yeah.
and visiting family, and like these are all good things. And if you feel like, oh man, but I'm gonna miss every other one because I work, you know, like that's great. That's fine. Come on the ones that you don't. I will be very interested. This is kind of just an aside, I guess, but I will be very interested to see where to what extent this is difficult for our church. Because I genuinely don't know. I have some guesses. But yeah, like
we might have some growing pains in it. Oh, for sure.
We'll for sure have some growing pains. But you know, most of us don't have other activities per se scheduled at 9 a.m. on a Sunday.
Wrangling children, mostly.
Exactly. Yeah. But that doesn't necessarily mean that getting here by 9 is easy.
Easy, yeah.
You know. But I will say I've been encouraged with the moms of multiple kids that I have spoken to. All of them have gone, oh yeah, this is fine. So I'm like, okay, we can. And if there's, I mean, to anyone listening, if there's anything that we can do to help figure it out or make it more accessible or easier, like it's one of the reasons that we did launch all ages at the same time, because we want to make sure that if you want to be there as an adult, that your kid has somewhere to be, or if your kid wants to be there, that you also have an option. Now, of course, you're welcome to sit in the foyer and socialize, but come on in.
Full bulletins while you're at it, though, please.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things I'm excited about, though, too, is hearing you talk about some of the classes that will be coming up this fall and even in the next spring. You know, I think we're used to hearing from Patrick on Sunday mornings or some of the elders or even some guest speakers who are maybe in full-time ministry or eldership.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these classes are, they're not just taught by our elders or pastors or people in full-time ministry. There are people within the body of Christ here at Antioch, whether they have experience in the workplace, a personal passion for something, the spiritual gift of teaching. Mm-hmm. There are giftings that can be used in this kind of setting that have not been able to be used in this way before.
Yep.
And I'm really excited about that.
I am too. I'm super pumped. You know, some of them all the teachers that we've pegged so far have been proved in other ways. You know, they're community group leaders, or they've taught in other situations before. Well, let me just give you a highlight of kind of where we're starting.
Yeah.
So the first Sunday will be September 17th. So school year should be rocking and rolling. It's not the potluck day. We're into September. First one will be that, and it will be 3 weeks with Dan Moose. Papa Moose is going to come and teach. And honestly, I gave him a title, but I said, frankly, whatever you want. So he's going to come back to me with the title. It will be something related to spiritual growth, generally. Might be spiritual disciplines, might be just sanctification in general. I'm not really sure. I'm going to let him tell me, and then we'll tell you all. But then we're going to have 3 weeks called Faith and Finances, with our treasurer and your husband, Joel Love, and Adam Hubb, who are both quite knowledgeable and are very thoughtful in how they think about finances in regards to their faith. And so that will be another like very practical. It's not Dave Ramsey, no shade, but like we're not doing a workbook. We're not doing, okay, everybody come with your budget and report next week.
Yeah, it's not 10 ways to give more money to Antioch even, right?
It's probably
a more biblical overview of like how are we called to stewardship? What is this thing called money? Mm-hmm. How should we view it?
With like discussion and practical application.
Yeah, yeah.
So all of these will be interactive discussion. None of them are going to be just a lecture where you just sit and listen and take notes. And then you head into the service where you sit and listen and take notes.
Yeah.
So another one coming up in the fall is we're calling Gospel Fluency, which is connecting the truth of the Bible and what we know about God to everyday life and how we live, and reverse engineering that. When I see something in my life that I don't love, that I know isn't a fruit of the Spirit, what's the root of that?
Yeah. Where do our functional beliefs, like the way I'm listening or the way I'm like living, not connect with like things I know to be true, but I'm not really like convicted or
believing them in the moment. Yeah. And so Sydney Diaz is actually going to take point on that one. That'll be 3 weeks as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some other ones. shuffled in there throughout. We're going to have a little Christmas series. We will have an Antioch 101, which is the prerequisite for membership. So we will sometimes use this time for like kind of special things like that, where it not everyone who's a member doesn't need to take the class. Mm-hmm. But that'll also be a good chance for a team meeting for hospitality or something like that,
yeah,
where they can use that time uniquely as well. So I'm super pumped about it, and we hope you guys are too. I think it's going to be a really great, like you said, a really great opportunity that we aren't 100% sure how the Lord's going to use yet, but genuinely believe that he will. And our prayer is that we would see people come to know Christ who didn't know him before.
For sure.
As a result of all of this.
Yeah, and I know community groups will be talking about this more this fall and our church as a whole, but I think a desire for this year that our church as a whole is wanting to push forward is just a genuine love for seeing people come to know Christ,
mm-hmm.
to experience who he is. And one of the ways that people do that is by experiencing the love that we as believers show. Yeah. And so if we can, I don't know, just like I'm reminded that the word that's implanted in us isn't meant to just stay within us. Like we have love and truth to give to a world who so desperately needs it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm excited to see what God will do with this. We're not just gaining head knowledge. We're gaining experience and fluency in this gospel that we can then share with others. And I think God can and will do amazing things through it.
You know, this just reminded me of one other thing that we didn't talk about, is that we talked about how it gives opportunity for teachers that don't necessarily have another space to do so. But it's also going to give us a chance to, if you are really passionate about kids ministry or youth ministry, do we have a youth group exactly as such yet? No. But we do have youth, and we do have old elementary and middle school kids who are going to be in a youth group in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the next couple of years are going to fly by. I've already had some conversations with people where I'm like, if you want to get involved in youth group, get involved with the fifth graders now.
Yeah.
Because by the time they're teens, you'll know them.
Yeah.
And they'll be more open to you by then.
Can I tell you a super random story? So when I had graduated college, I went back and taught in my hometown of Ohio. And while I was there, I got roped into teaching a third and fourth grade girls Sunday school class.
Oh, fun.
And this was like a situation in a church where like every single Sunday morning, every single one, like I taught those third and fourth grade girls.
Nice.
Wasn't super jazzed about it at first, because I was like, I'm teaching in K-12 education throughout the week. I'm going to teach again on Sundays. Uh-huh. But let me tell you, it was amazing. And it was sanctifying for my heart to each Sunday talk through an age-appropriate way for those girls what it was like to know God and do discipleship. And I was just back in Ohio a few weeks ago visiting my parents at their church. And super randomly, all of a sudden behind me comes up a girl who is now, I think, in her senior year of college.
Oh, no.
Who was one of the girls that I had taught in Sunday school.
That is
And
awesome.
I was introducing her to my husband. She was like, yeah, Miss Rachel was my Sunday school teacher. And she's getting ready to graduate college. She has started a Christian sorority at her college. And this is like a girl who like is still following Christ. It was so encouraging for me to see, but also like, it just brought up so many memories of little sleepovers in my house that I had with those third and fourth grade girls. And just like the beauty that can come even within your own heart of investing in the next generation. So yes, I would highly encourage, a toddler room's a hoot. I love being in a toddler room once a month. It's great.
Yeah.
If you really want to like just see a lot of excited little people, come to the toddler room. It's great.
I am personally partial to middle schoolers because I just think they're hilarious and just the best. But yeah, all of the ages are a riot, and I think they're so fun. And because of how we have these set up, our hope is that people can be involved in both volunteering with the kids and in the occasional class for adults.
Yeah.
So that it wouldn't be like what you were saying, how you grew up every single Sunday,
yeah.
like come hell or high water, like you're gonna be there.
Uh-huh.
But that there would be some consistency and whatnot for the kids. So yeah, if you guys have any questions about any of this, you can reach out to me, coley@antiochcommunity.org. Or if you're interested in volunteering with kids, I would say reach out to Sarah, sarah@antiochcommunity.org, Sarah with an H. But yeah, we are watch Church Center for registration for these classes, or at least for the details of what the classes will be. You won't necessarily have to register for them. You can just come. But September 17th. We're looking forward to it. Anything else we need to say about this, or is kind
I'm
of it?
Just glad we're back on the podcast.
I know, I missed this.
It's been a while.
This is fun.
Yeah.
Babies crying in the background. Oh, good times. Rain, all the noise canceling we'll have to do. It's awesome. I love it. All right. Well, until next time, we'll see you.
Have a good week, Antia.